Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to take you way back, all the way back to when I started Lifestyles Unlimited in September of 1990, yes, all the way back. And I want to bring you into this understanding that I ran into over the next 7 years, or around that started around 7 years later. And that was that people really don't understand finances at all. They really have no idea how the world truly works for most people. For years, for the first 7 years, everything I did was fight with people that their 401k wasn't the answer, that their job wasn't the answer, that all of the stuff they've been told to believe just wasn't true, that rich people didn't live the same way they lived. The basic theory of go to school, get good grades so you can get into a good college. Go to college, get good grades so you can get a good job. Work hard and long hours so you can impress the boss and move up and get a higher paying position. This was what was educated to everybody forever and a day when I've started teaching out there. And I just didn't know how to get it across well enough. I mean, I did well enough to keep Lifestyles alive for years, well enough for me to change many, many people's lives. But along in 1997, a guy by the name of Robert Kiyosaki came along. And Robert Kiyosaki wrote this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it really changed culture almost completely. It didn't get everybody. It got a lot of people right up front. Over years now, Robert Kiyosaki, his teachings and his many books have brought people really almost full circle in their belief system about how money is really made. So I want to cover what he's done. The number one point that Robert Kiyosaki made in these books was that you have been given an education in how to be an employee. That everything that you've been taught all through grade school, all through high school, all through college was just how to go to work for somebody else. How to get a job and keep a job for the rest of your life. As opposed to, you've never been taught how to be financially free. There are no classes on financial freedom. In fact, there's very few classes of any kind on finance. During grade school and high school, there's none. When you go to college, they have stuff for people that specialize in that. But even the people that come out of college courses, finance majors, I'm telling you, these business majors, all these people, they come out and they really don't understand how to become wealthy, how to become financially free. So what Robert Kiyosaki, in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, did is he took a parable, a story about himself, which, by the way, the story is not exactly true. No story anybody writes in a book is exactly true. You take bits and pieces of lots of stories and you put them together and you tie them up and you make sense out of them. But his basic construct in his book was he had two fathers, really his real father, who was a Hawaiian, who was very educated, highly educated individual. I think he was a professor at a college, who was broke, constantly broke. And then he had a best friend whose father dropped out of high school and became an entrepreneur and owned all kinds of businesses. And he was rich. Now, this isn't that far from the truth. I'm the guy that dropped out of college. Not high school, but college, and went out and became rich. I am that product. Now, I did it well before this book was ever written, but the point is, the book was about the truth, which were the most successful people. It's not about how much education they have. It's about their entrepreneurial education, right? And looking at this backwards here, you see that he was talking about the stuff that I had done and then I was trying to get across. But one of the most important things I've learned in 35 years of teaching is that the true wealth of this world is the person who can take the complex and bottle it up and distill it down to the not complex, to the simplistic, to where you can understand it. Now, quite honestly, Robert Kiyosaki's ideas were interesting, to say the least. Many of them don't fit into any traditional finance logic, would never pass muster at a college, a business college, and so on and so forth. But at a visceral level, at the level of what we experience in life, they really make sense. And as you read his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then later Cash Flow Quadrant, which was his second book and probably just as good in a different way, maybe even better, it really explains to people the difference between going to school, getting an education, and working your whole life, and or starting an entrepreneurial activity that can produce wealth for you. It's amazing, as people would read this, how it would enlighten them. I remember my memberships, volume of memberships, probably quadrupled after this book came out. Before then, people would come and they'd listen and go, yeah, sure. Who wants to own real estate? Nobody wants to own real estate. It doesn't make any sense. And I've got a college degree. I'm going to go back and get a master's because I'm going to earn more, because if I get a master's, they'll pay me more. Nah, it doesn't work. I've got a 401k. I don't need to worry about investments. Just, it was like negative to what I was trying to talk about, which was entrepreneurialism, real estate investing, and so forth. But after this book came out, it was almost like the world was on fire. And they're going, yes, this makes sense. And so they were looking for some place to be able to go out and actually do that. Because just because the idea and ideals make sense doesn't mean you know how to do it. Luckily, my program was in place when this book came out for the thousands of people that wanted someone to help them learn how to do what Robert Kiyosaki told them was out there to learn. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you really don't. In fact, I'll tell you, just in a side note, the stories Robert Kiyosaki talks about, the two real estate deals he talks about in the book, one buying a condo and two buying an 8-unit apartment complex, were so wrong, so remedial. The way he did it, the stuff he did, was so not powerful, so misguided. As far as true entrepreneurialism, you could tell that Robert Kiyosaki had never really done any entrepreneurial investing himself. In fact, he made millions from his books before he ever started truly investing. And it's easy to see if you read his first and second book that he really doesn't know what he's talking about until later. His later books, he had made millions, and now he had people investing his money for him in real estate transactions. And he started to truly understand what the difference was. But up until that point, he really didn't. And that didn't mean his message wasn't still effective. It was massively effective because he was the person that didn't even understand what he was talking about, explaining it to people that had no idea what he was talking about. So let's talk about some of his ideas. Probably one of the most prevalent ideas is the difference between assets and liabilities. There is a technical term for assets. There is a technical term for liabilities. But he just made it real simple. He blurred the two. They're not technically correct, but it didn't matter because I'm an accountant by education. I've taken accounting for 8 years. My dad was a CPA. It really kind of bugged me at first that he was blurring the facts with the emotion. And yet, his way of doing it and seeing it really changed everybody's life. Until you get into the deep details of business and finance, his way of looking at it is well enough, it's good enough to get by and be successful. The first thing he said is assets versus liabilities. This is his most famous concept, is that an asset is something that puts money in your pocket, like rental property or stocks, while a liability takes money out, like a car loan or a credit card of debt. In fact, the most famous one is him saying that your home, your personal residence, which most people believe is their largest asset, which in reality probably is their largest asset, under his definition becomes a liability. Now, let's take a look at that and break that down for a second. Why does he call it a liability? Because it takes money out of your pocket every month. If you're trying to become wealthy, you need to have money coming into your life. Your personal residence doesn't do that. In fact, if you take Dave Ramsey, he talks about, let's try to pay that house off. That's probably the dumbest thing in the whole world. So the bottom line is, it doesn't work out the way you think it does. You believe that your home is going up in value and that's your asset and it's making you money. But in his book, the way he sees it is that it's costing you money every month. What's interesting about this is one of the maybe 10 or 20 parables my dad dropped on me when I was a kid that stuck with me my whole life. And he said, Del, it's not what it costs to buy something, it's what it costs to own it. So like on your home, you buy this thing. You have to pay taxes, you have to pay insurance. If you have a mortgage, you have to pay mortgage, principal, and interest. You have to maintain the property. You have maintenance costs galore. You have landscaping and lawn mowing, and even if you don't pay for them, you're doing somebody's, it's costing somebody you money, time, effort, your life to do it. So really, a home is really kind of a pain in the butt. And if you take, like Dave Ramsey said, well, you should pay it off. Well, even after you pay the house off, you still doesn't send any money. I ask people this in the seminar all the time. I said, okay, you got to pay in full home. How much money did it send to you this month? Absolutely nothing. Well, that breaks Robert Kiyosaki's rule, because if it doesn't make you money, it's costing you money, because you got 100, 200, 500,000 stuck in this house that could be making you money and it's making you none. Right? In fact, it's costing you. You got to pay in for taxes and insurance. You've got to pay in to maintain it. You don't even think about how much you spend in a year for cleaning and for lawn mowing and for painting. I just got done doing my annual paint job. I have a 20-car garage, so I have to paint 20 garage doors about every 2 or 3 years. They come up for painting again. Some of them that are where the sun hits them directly, it's every year I have to paint them. I just had to paint. I have two giant trellises at my house. I had to paint the trellises, right? I have two giant bridges at my house. They go across my ponds and one goes across my pool. You have to paint those. They just got done being painted. I've lived at this house now for 14 years, and my 50,000-gallon swimming pool has about 8 lights in it, and 7 of the 8 lights went out. I had to replace all of those. Let's go on and on and on. You know, we have to pressure wash the house every once in a while. We have to do all these things just to keep it working. We have to replace the gates. I mean, 14 years later, the wrought iron fences have rotted out, and you have to replace the wrought iron fences. One thing after another after another. So it costs you money. It's an expense, according to Robert Kiyosaki. If you're trying to get rich and you go out there at a young age and buy yourself a big house, you're probably never going to be wealthy, because you will be paying on that house for the rest of your life. What's even worse is if you buy a second house, thinking that a vacation home is really another investment, right? So this assets thing, credit cards are debt, but you should go into debt. And that's another thing he worked on, was the concept of good debt and bad debt. We borrow money to go buy investments. Investments that pay not only for a profit to us, but they pay the debt. So if I buy a rent house and I go borrow the money, my rental income is covering not only the mortgage payment, which is paying off my debt for me over 30 years or 15 or whatever your mortgage is, it's paying it off. My tenant is paying off my mortgage, and I'm getting positive cash flow from it, even after the maintenance and repair and so forth, if done correctly. You have to do it correctly. And this is really where the rubber met the road, because after Robert Kiyosaki, people would be motivated to go do this stuff, but they couldn't figure out how to do it because it didn't work for them, because they'd buy a rent house and they'd lose money on it. Go, well, the idea, the theory, Robert, is great, but I didn't make any money with it. It didn't work. So there's where Lifestyles Unlimited came in. in flying colors. We were there with a set of practices on how to locate, evaluate, negotiate a deal the right way, how to buy it, how to finance it correctly, and then how to renovate it and how to operate it as a rental property, that it didn't drive you crazy, that it was easy to do. All of these kinds of things were not in Robert Kiyosaki's books, but they were the natural outcome that people would look for after they had read his books. So I have to say, a lot of the success of Lifestyles Unlimited over the 36 years we've been in business has been the Robert Kiyosaki books. They've really generated interest in people changing their lives. And it all comes down to this first concept of assets and liabilities. What is your money doing for you? Is it somewhere where it's costing you money, or is it somewhere where it's making you money? The next concept that Robert Kiyosaki pushed very hard was the concept of the rat race. Most people live in a cycle of fear, right, and greed, and they want to work harder and raise more money and increase their expenses and stay trapped in this cycle of dependency. Call the paycheck for the rest of their lives. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Real estate investing doesn't have to be confusing. Lifestyles Unlimited teaches you how to build income with a clear plan and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And as we went to break, we were just getting into the concept of the rat race, which is basically to get up and go to work every day for the rest of your life, never having an end to it. And I saw it, you know, when he said the rat race, it led me to see a picture in my mind of the little gerbil in the little wheel running around, getting nowhere for the rest of your life. And I took that on as part of my transitional communication style. And I brought up this next concept, which was basically living a life of quiet desperation. In other words, you know in the back of your mind that this is what's going on in your life. You get up every day and do the same thing. You're happy you're alive. You're happy your bills got paid. You're happy your kids are okay. You're happy you're still married and you didn't get divorced. And you're happy for all these minimal successes in life. But truly, you are not stimulated. You are truly not excited. You are truly not going anywhere, and you are not going to become wealthy this way. It just isn't going to work. So I came up with the concept of living this life of quiet desperation. But his was the first one called living in the rat race, doing what everybody else does, trying to get ahead the same way, and it never really working. The next thing he promoted was the concept of financial literacy, that most people spend their time getting educated on stuff that doesn't know anything. I brought this point up a long time ago. Said, you know, think about it this way. I could take the average person and ask them about their sports team, and they could tell me 20 different people they know their scores and their stats and their this and that. In fact, some of them, they've got all the baseball teams memorized, all the football teams memorized, all the basketball teams memorized, all the soccer teams, all the hockey teams. And yet if you ask them, what do they owe in their house right now? They could not tell you. They know every minute detail about stuff that means absolutely nothing to them. But they don't know what interest rate they're paying on their mortgage. They forgot. I signed something. I don't know what it is. They don't know what their mortgage payment is exactly. They don't know how much of it is principal and interest, taxes and insurance. They don't know on their paycheck what their actual take-home pay is, what their gross pay is, what their insurance takeout is, what their 401k takeout is, what their taxes for income taxes is. They don't know what tax bracket they're in. They don't know what the Medicare and Social Security payment is they're paying each month. They don't know any of that. And right now, if you're listening, I know you don't know it either. I mean, the basics of what you are bringing in income-wise and what is going out expense-wise, most people have no idea. You have no financial literacy whatsoever. Now, when you go to the next step saying, okay, this is what I'm doing, is it right or wrong? That's an even higher level of financial literacy that most people don't have. And then the highest level of financial literacy is, what should I do? If this is what I'm doing that is wrong, how can I fix that? Which is the highest level of financial literacy. Because Robert Kiyosaki pointed this out to people that they had no idea what they were doing to control their life financially, people started looking. I was there at the right place at the right time, and boy, they just blew in the door. And we had classes and education for them. We had mentoring and we had networking, and we still do, where people can come in and meet other people that are going through the same change in their life. We used to joke all the time. We didn't know if this was a drinking group with a real estate problem or a real estate group with a drinking problem. What we were really saying was this was a social movement. People that no longer wanted to live a life of quiet desperation, that no longer wanted to live in the rat race, were coming to Lifestyles Unlimited and getting together with other people that didn't want that either. And so they became friends. Because they had the same social construct. They had the same goals in life, to get ahead, to no longer live this life of quiet desperation. And so Lifestyles just blew up because we offered massive amounts of financial literacy, right? Massive amounts. The next thing that people had to overcome was this concept of mind your own business before you mind somebody else's. And this is a parable that goes back to the beginning of time. Pay yourself first. It's a hard, hard concept that when you make money, the first part of the money you make should go to your savings towards becoming wealthy. Then you live off the rest, as opposed to the concept of, I've got all these bills I have to pay, and boy, if there's any money left, I'll save some money. You don't do it that way. You have to flip that around and say, I'm going to pay myself first. Now, the next point is, and this is a tough one, although in this day and age, the kids that have become children of my generation have really gotten this, and that is, you don't work for corporate America anymore. You work for yourself. And so if you take on a job or a position, it's not a lifelong commitment anymore. It is, hey, this job can lead to a paycheck. This job can lead to some further information and education that I need. This job can benefit me in this way. And when it's done benefiting me, I'm going to move on if there's something better for me. Well, that's the way they're seeing it. The way Robert Kiyosaki was bringing it out and the way I've brought it out since September of 1990 is, why don't you go out here and start your own business? You can have a job and you can go over here and buy a rent house and still have your job. You can buy two rent houses, three, five, 10. I think I had 11 before I quit my job. It's nothing to own and operate them if you do it correctly, but you have to do it correctly. If you don't do it correctly, it could be a nightmare for you. And many of you have run into that, or your parents have run into that, or your cousins run into that, or your attorneys run into that, or your CPAs run into that, or your college professor run into that. In other words, somebody who had influence over you told you that real estate investing doesn't work. But if you come to Lifestyles Unlimited, you're going to meet thousands of people that it worked very well and has retired them over a period of time. But you have to build up enough assets and enough passive income to be able to replace your income. You can't just quit your job and go do something else. That's not the way it works. You need to build up some passive streams of income and transition. And that's what really Robert Kiyosaki was trying to get out with mind your own business. Go over here and start your own business of some kind. Do something where you start making money. I'll never forget when I got my first rent check. It blew my mind. I worked at health clubs, Bally's Health Clubs in Houston, and I ran five health clubs, and we collected probably $1 million a month worth of new membership sales. And at the end of the month, after we take all this money down, we'd collect it, we'd turn it into the office, and you know, we did all this stuff. I'd get a check that was about $4,000, $5,000 a month, and it would come after all the taxes and benefits that came out. I got like $3,300 a month. Go, this is it. I'm making these people millions of dollars a month, and I get $3,300. And I was in charge of all of it from these five clubs. There were 16 clubs. I ran five of them. I was in charge of all of it, and I got $3,300. This is insane. When I got my first rent check, and it came, and it was like $600, and it was all my money, I go, are you kidding me? I don't have to turn this into the office. I don't even have to pay taxes on it because it's tax-free when done correctly. You're not tax-free. It's tax-deferred, and then eventually tax-free if you do it right. I thought, man, this is unbelievable. Why haven't I not understood this? You know, if you take $600 a month times 11, it's $6,600 after you pay the mortgages. It was more than what I was making, more than what I was taking home. I thought, man, just unbelievable, just unbelievable. So as it went on, you learn this, you grow your business, and eventually you realize it's better to be minding your business than to be minding somebody else's business. In the long run, that's what it comes down to. So with this in mind, and this teaching out there, Lifestyles blew up. It blew up. And the other concept he tied with this was work to learn, not to earn. So he's saying, go grab a job that has some skill sets that will help you out. So we would go out here and we would do something. Like I would buy houses and then I'd go, you know what? I'm going to go buy a fourplex because I don't know how to do one. Now, I didn't have mentors. Like everybody now has mentors because they came from our group. But I didn't have any. I'm going to go buy one. I'm going to learn. I'm going to work at this to learn, not because I want a fourplex. It's because I want to understand how a fourplex works differently than a single family house. And then I eventually did that with small apartments and then medium-sized apartments. Everything I did, I was doing to learn how the next level worked. Now, the last topic I want to cover on here is he dug into and started just touching the concept of the rich use corporations. Now, in this day and age, we use LLCs instead of corporations. I'm not going to go into the details why, but there are some very many technical reasons, both legal-wise, tax-wise, and so forth, why we use LLCs as opposed to corporations. But the concept of a corporation is that it's not you. You are starting a business that is not you. The liability is not you. The liability stays inside of the corporation is the basic concept. Moving away from there, the liability, the next level is that it's not just your money. When you have a corporation, you can raise capital. Now, you can raise capital outside of a corporation, but everybody involved becomes liable to everything that happens. If you have an LLC or corporation and you put a business inside of it, all the people that contribute the money to it are not liable for what goes on inside of it unless they've signed personally in some way, shape, or form to be liable for it. What this does allow you to do now is to raise capital, to go out there and whereas the first deals I did really as partnerships inside of LLCs. And like I think the first deal I did was a 10-unit. And believe it or not, we had like five people that bought into a 10-unit. It's amazing. But it was just like, hey, everybody wanted to put a little money in. We'll go see if we can make this thing work, right? And then we made some money. The next one I think I did was it was 30-unit. And so we had a couple people put some money into it and raised it and went out and did a 30-unit. And the next one I went out and did was a 40-unit. And each time I was raising some capital from the same people I had done the other ones with that were happy about the deals that I had done. And then new capital, new people that, hey, I heard that, you know, from this person, you did this deal. They really liked it. They made some money. I want to get in with you. So then I did 40 units, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how this thing works. The largest deal that I did as a syndication was 320 units. So in like a 2-year period of time, I bought a 256 unit, a 208 unit, 140 unit, another 256 unit, and a 320 unit, all within about a year and a half period of time, 2-year period of time, something like that. And the only reason I could afford to do that is because I was letting other people get into the deals with me. I was syndicating the deals through a corporation. So we were companies. Each deal was an independent company that was operated as a company by itself and so forth. And all of the liability resided within that corporation and all the capital was raised within that corporation. And then the distributions were paid out to the people that had paid in the capital. and the profits went out to the outside of the corporation. When done correctly, like with an LLC, you can literally set it up to where the company pays no taxes at all. So there's where the difference is. In the old days, they were corporations, and corporations had corporate tax rates, and you had to pay taxes both at the corporate level, and then you had to pay taxes to the distributions at the private level. With an LLC, all the profits flow right out of the LLC, right to the private people, and they pay their taxes at their level of income. It makes it much easier, and of course, you're not paying double taxation. So that's why we changed over to, obviously, LLCs from corporations. Now, having said that, this is a major, major concept that's not taught anywhere in school. I mean, corporations were designed way back in the 1600s so that the Queen and the King of England and the King and the Queen of France and Spain could send ships out across the sea. They would put people on these ships, send them out across the sea to find new lands or to go buy stuff and bring it back. The problem is many of these ships would all get destroyed while they're on the trip. And hundreds of people would die and millions of dollars worth of stuff was lost at sea. And if there had not been corporations, then the crown could have been held responsible. They could have been sued for wrongful death. They could have been sued for loss of assets that were invested into this trip. You know, people put up their money to create these trips, and they'd lose it all. And the way the crown avoided it was by putting it inside of LLC. Well, actually, they weren't then, corporations. And that's why these things were designed. They're also designed because you can pass money generationally if done correctly. And when you do that, then wealth just continues to grow. So there are so many different legal things that the wealthy understand that the middle class have no idea about and never utilize. The tax laws are unbelievable. The tax refunds available if you understand how to do real estate correctly are unbelievable. I can't even in any short period of time, like the last 2 minutes of this show, even come close to explaining to you how much money people get back from tax returns from being in real estate investing done the correct way. That's why you need to get in here. So as we finish this up for the day, I just want to remind you that I'm here for you. If you want to ask me a question, if you're sitting out there living this life of quiet desperation, I think you need to get in here, get signed up. It only costs $297. You'll spend more than that in a dinner, and you'll get a year's worth of membership, and the light will go on in your head, I guarantee you. If you want to just ask me a question, I have people send me emails all the time. Just email me at askdell, that's D-E-L, at luinc.com. That stands for Lifestyles Unlimited, Inc., luinc.com, Lifestyles, Inc., and send me your question. I'll answer it, get back to you. If you put your phone number in there, I may even call you. I do like talking to people because I can get ideas across better if I can talk to you, and also I can get more information from you. So let's get started. Let's make it a commitment today that you're going to go get started doing something to change your life. Give me a call or join up, one of the two. But remember, it's not just money. It's a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.